That connect. It's super, super important. You know, and listen, like, you know, we're not ashamed of this. We're a church that goes forward in worship, man. We want to encounter God. We want to encounter His presence. It's amazing. I like what Sam said, though, in his message last week. I want to put this up. He says, we think having an encounter with God justifies our inactivity to serve. Furthest thing from the truth. No, an encounter with God actually propels us by His grace into two things. Transformation, which leads to Christ-likeness, which Christ-likeness, man, He was the greatest servant of all. Right? You know, in fact, He told His disciples, He said, man, you want to be great in the kingdom. Greatness in the kingdom means servant of all. So, you know, encounters are going to lead, true encounters, true grace encounters are going to lead to Christ-likeness, which is going to manifest itself in serving. So super, super exciting. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk. The last time I spoke, I actually talked about this whole concept of the redemption of time. And remember how the Lord in his word, He said that one day with Him was like 1,000 years and 1,000 years was like one day. And so I want to kind of pick back up on that and talk to us about this whole culture of serving in a healthy, functional perspective. I just came back this last week. I'm just amazed by what the Lord is doing, but I was so honored to be invited to be a part of 20 leaders that are significant leaders in our nation that were just kind of randomly and yet intentionally handpicked to go and be together for 4 days out in the great state of Montana. Can I get an amen? And being from Montana, you know, it's crazy. It was wild. As I went out there, I realized it had been exactly 30 years to the day that I had been gone from Montana when I graduated. In fact, some of my classmates were celebrating 30-year class reunion. I looked at some of the pictures, and they looked old. Old. I was like, there's no way I look that old. But it was incredible as I was with these men. And what was amazing about it was these guys were from all different streams and denominational influences. And guys that if I wasn't forced to be with them, I never would have hung out with them for the weekend. You know what I mean? And what I found is that Holy Spirit is moving among everybody whose hearts are truly after Him. I mean, I sat there with a guy who went to seminary at a school that is cessationist, meaning they don't believe that God still moves today, and God was moving big time in this guy's life. It's incredible. There's nothing that's going to hinder the move of God in anybody's life that says, man, I want Jesus. Like those people that really say they want Jesus, He's taking them on a journey. It's incredible. And one of the common themes out of that was kind of, you know, here they just plunked us in this environment and, you know, we're so used to schedules and they really mess with us. They were like, don't even ask us about the schedule because there is no schedule. The schedule is no schedule, you know. And in that time, we were unraveling. You could see everybody unraveling. And when all the unraveling kind of ended, then the conversations began. And I was amazed at what God, you could just see Him touching down on different conversations. And guys were opening up their heart. Some of the horrific things that these leaders had been through broke my heart. Broke my heart. And there was this cry that weekend, like, man, is there possibility for the church to really become a family that loves each other? And the answer that we discovered was yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And could we maybe see in some ways this machine, and I say that in a bad sense, that maybe has been built, that's been churning out and destroying lives called the Big C Church. Could we see a shift back to the foundations of what God wants to do in the earth right now where, you know, we're able to scale and steward the lives that God has given us, yet at the same time remain in this place where we have a culture of love and of family and of community and of relationship. And so You know, one of the things that we're going to look at this morning, you remember Jesus, he comes out of this encounter with God at his baptism. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." And by the way, he says that over him when he hadn't even done anything yet in terms of ministry. And he's sent into the wilderness, right? And I want to say this to us this morning, then we're going to look into the word of the Lord. If the enemy can't get you with what you would traditionally think of sin, with sin, you know, whatever that is, you know, addiction or, you know, messing up your marriage or whatever, he'll try to push you out of a place of brokenness in your own heart, a broken identity, with speed. And, you know, everything he asked Jesus to do was already Jesus' destiny, but it was outside of the timing of what God had for him in that moment, you know, to turn a rock into a piece of bread, to, you know, have major impact in the kingdoms of this world, to throw himself off of the temple. We're going to look at that as we close today. All of those things were his. But let me say this, the enemy is all up in, unfortunately, our lives as believers to try to get us in a place of misguided worship as it relates to our time. And that comes right down to how we serve and how that whole thing fleshes itself out. You see, as we're navigating this whole true north journey, you know, we really have set our sights on, man, where are we heading? What does this mean to us as the harbor? We are dialed into a vision, y'all. And the vision is transformed people who transform culture. And trust me, that is not going to come through our programs. That is not going to come through our own efforts. It's going to come through one thing. And that is the touching down of the grace of God in our midst. The unmerited favor of God's love towards us that we need to be able to receive. You can't even give it away unless you can first receive it. And then number two, that divine enabling power that is way bigger than yourself and all that you can bring to the table. Trust me, God's going to use all of your giftings, all of your abilities, all of your talents, but it's going to be way second to his grace, his power coming and flowing through your life to bring all those things to life. If you try to do it separate than that, you're going to burn out. And again, I said this the other week, but man, if you're the fuel, you will burn out. The fuel has got to be the grace of God. So we're moving towards that trajectory. And the foundational component to get there is serving, which this is the wrong slide, but amen. Pull that thing off there. Anyhow, serving is the southern component. The southern component of where we're moving towards this whole vision, this mission that God has given us, this serving component. Because I want to say this, where our treasure is, i.e. time, talents, and resources, there our heart is. And how many of you know everything about the kingdom is heart connection? God doesn't want anything but your heart. He wants your heart. He doesn't want anything. He wants your heart. And so heart connection, where our treasure is, there our heart is. So where we give our time, where we give our talents, where we give our financial resources, those things are just measurements of heart connection. And there's no shame in that game. It's just, God, listen, God takes all these spiritual, high-end spiritual realities, and he ties them to something super practical to help us. That's what he's doing, so that we can understand. Otherwise, we live in this ethereal world that doesn't make any sense to us or anybody else, and then we just go along with the game, right? Playing church, right? And God has a mission himself that he wants to see happen in our lives. And I want to say this, the action of serving, in my opinion, is a measurement of kingdom heart health, number one. How healthy is our heart? If we're giving of ourselves to the kingdom, man, there's heart health there as it's functionally given. And there's a measurement of kingdom heart connection. You know, James says this. He says in chapter 2, verse 26, he says, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without good works." Talking about giving of ourselves to the purposes of God in the earth. So life is actually manifest by us giving, if you will, to these good works that he's called us to do. And I want to say this, the giving of our time to service, please hear this, out of obedience to God is worship. The giving of time to service out of obedience. Everybody please say obedience just over your heart. Out of obedience is worship. It is. Worship is way more than songs. And that's why the Father's eyes are roaming to and fro across the whole earth. He's wanting to get to the heart. And the manifestation of Him getting to the heart is going to be time and devotion given to worship through service. It's happening. This is where this army is going to rise. You know, Paul said in Acts 17:28, he says, man, for in Him we live and we move. We don't stay. Listen, we should all be advancing. We should all be moving forward. Even when you get into a serving role, how many of you know that you should be moving forward into those serving realms? Into new things that God might have. You know, we're so often stuck. But here's my main premise this morning. This is where we're going to spend just the next few minutes of our time. Serving, you got to catch this. If you miss this, you're going to miss everything I'm trying to say to you this morning. Serving is way more about redemption than it is about sacrifice. Do you have that slide? Serving is way more about redemption than it is about sacrifice. Write that down. I'm going to say it again. Serving is way more about redemption than it is sacrifice. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Verse 16, making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Another version, New King James says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then he says, verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Serving is not about doing as much as it is about an obedient response to the will of God that flows out of a place of being. It's not as much about doing as it is about an obedient response to the will of God out of a place of being. Do you remember in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, he says, what's more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? Listen, he says. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of the fat of rams. You see, in Christendom, there's been many sacrificial acts that have not measured to the degree that God would have them measured as it relates to redemption coming out of that sacrificial act. And when you get in that space, man, things get really dark, get really twisted. I mentioned this earlier that when Jesus was coming out of his baptism in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, he hadn't done anything sacrificially as it related to ministry because he was in a realm of God shaping him and growing him in his obedience to him. And God in that place said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, unfortunately, again, Big C Church, sin as it relates to missing the mark of God's intended purpose, which is his will. Unfortunately, sin is as much about striving and busyness that flows out of a sick heart posture that isn't really rooted in obedience as it is about any other sin, lying, addiction, divorce, whatever. Do you remember Jesus You guys hear me this morning? Okay, is that all right out there? Jesus said in chapter 5 of John, he says, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing of himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing, and what the Father does, the Son does also. You see, we're really big into intimacy here. Intimacy affecting our identity in this house. An identity setting the course for our destiny. Because if it's done any, that's a component of what worship looks like. If it's done any other way, we're going to get on just a little, we could get 2, 3 degrees or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 off of that trajectory to true north, and we'll find ourselves down the road in a place that we don't want to be. But the tricky part of navigating this servanthood trajectory is the enemy will try to divert our worship to God via the obedience that he's longing for with your time by pushing you to do the very thing God's called you to do outside of timing. Do you remember in Luke chapter 2:52, you got to catch this. Jesus, it says, grew. The word there literally means driven forward. So it wasn't just about him, you know, increasing in age. It was like God said, I'm going to take my son and I'm going to drive him forward. I'm going to move him forward on this trajectory. And it says that he was driven forward as he grew in wisdom. Listen, I looked this up, and wisdom there is both worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. You see, we're looking for our destiny, but in many ways we don't even have wisdom to manifest destiny because we're so naive as it relates to both spiritual and worldly wisdom that God wants to give us as the church. Man, have I grown in that in, say, the last 5 years. Big time. There's nothing spiritual or holy or righteous about being naive. This is why even the word of the Lord, he says, man, the sons of the world are more shrewd than you guys are. And he said, man, you need to be as wise as serpents, yet gentle as doves. You need to have wisdom related to some stuff that you're getting ready to go into. How many of you know as it comes to taking this city and this wisdom and this region, there's some wisdom that we need to have to really impact culture. If we think we're going to do it in the church way that was working 20 years ago, or the way that we grew up in faith, you know, back when we were 5 years old, man, we are fools. I'm just asking, I'm like, I'm for real, like I'm burning to see this city change. And so I'm sitting in the place of prayer with God, and I'm saying, Lord, give me wisdom beyond my years. Give me encounters that lead to downloads from your heart that is like thousands of years of me living on this planet. I believe that's literally possible. I believe there's people in this room that God wants to speak to, that God wants to give you divine unction that's going to open up doors and give us strategy to pierce this region. It's not going to change by us having church meetings, y'all. It's going to change by us getting out there and serving this community, walking in the wisdom and the power of God, spiritually and worldly. In fact, stature... Here he grew in that. That's maturity, number one. And number two, it's capacity. Man, we cry out, God, give us the nations. Give us the region. Give us the... Man, I spent some time with some guys, you know, on this retreat. And man, I got some real downloads of what it means to steward X number of people's lives. Man, you better have capacity when you enter into that space. You better have some spiritual fortitude to take some spiritual hits. And when demons come and knock at your door, you just kick them right out of the house. You know what I'm talking about? The devil shows up at the end of your bed at night and you just tell him, just, is that only you? And you go back to sleep. You know what I'm talking about? It's like we're talking about capacity that God wants us to grow in to really transform the world. Favor. You know what that word means? It literally means graciousness. A polite way to show respect. You know what that is? That's a culture of honor. I mean, this may be not politically correct, but here, like, listen, maybe the city council of Wilton Manors. What if God gave us wisdom to even have favor with people like that because we have a graciousness about us? And I'm not talking compromising our belief system. I'm talking about walking in wisdom, growing in our capacity to go into those kind of spaces and then be able to show a graciousness that opens up doors so the gospel of Jesus Christ can come in and transform some people that desperately need it. We have been so ungracious as the church, man. Anybody different than us thinks different. We just disconnect. We're rude. We're mean. We're all those kind of things. And God's like, listen, favor, real favor. And listen, I want to say this. I've been feeling this. I've been just feeling it like never before. When you start really walking in favor, you start looking beautiful to people and they're attracted to you. Even if you're not so beautiful. Can I get an amen right there? It's weird. I remember when I was in Bible school, my professor, who looked like a hobbit off of, you know, Lord of the Rings, he told me when he got into ministry and God started downloading favor on him, he had all these women coming after him. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? Gollum looks better than you do right now. It's not about physical appearance. It's like there's a grace of favor that falls on people in the church and then everybody starts getting attracted to us. And we better have maturity and recognize that it ain't because we're so awesome, but it's because Jesus in us is bringing out all that awesomeness that he's destined us to walk in. Humility needs to come right on in as you start increasing in wisdom, stature, and favor. You start believing your own press, man. You know what I'm saying? Like this is where like honor, graciousness, we start like what Julie did this morning was completely appropriate. We need to honor what God's doing with the youth. We need to honor what God's doing with young adults. We need to honor what God's doing through certain people in this place. We need to prefer one another. We need to be gracious to one another. We need to celebrate one another. This isn't a competition. There's no comparison in this kingdom. We need to, if we really have like true identity, you'll make space for some of the most powerful people and let them rise and let them do their thing as you're rooted with them in relationship. It's got to be tied in relationship. So Jesus, before he even, you know, got into this place at 30, where daddy was like, okay, it's time to knock the devil out, you know, and go and just, and begin to see the kingdom of God come onto the earth. He was growing in these things. Do we have to wait 30 years? I don't think so. I think God, you know, is always working and moving in us. The point is let's give our hearts to these realms. So we see the temptation that the enemy brought against Jesus, but I want to look at it not so much through the temptation, but it was telling in a sense of what we're actually called to do for God, every single person in this room. Because the enemy wouldn't have tried to veer or detour his worship through these things or have him operate in this space outside of the will of God if there wasn't something really, really powerful that Jesus was called to do with his servanthood. So I just want to close out with these last three thoughts right here. And I want you to take it inside of your heart, because every single person in this room is called to manifest these three things through the serving of your time. And listen, please hear me culturally here. We definitely need help to pull off this equipping aspect of what we're called to do. You know, if we don't have someone over there watching the kids, how many of you know we can't have meetings like this? You know what I mean? It's just super practical. I mean, If someone's not in there mixing up a smoothie, you can't drink a smoothie. Does that make sense? I know this is, I was thinking about it this morning. I was getting encountered. I was like, if someone doesn't greet me at the door, I'm not going to get greeted. You know what I mean? Like, whoa. But at the end of the day, we're after something more. That these are like deacons that rise up. And there's a special honor for those kind of people, by the way. There really is. But we're trying to empower an army to go outside of this equipping space to change the city, right? So here's what I want to give this to you, so you're thinking about that. And number one is this, that every single person in this room is called to make dead things come to life and then give life. Ooh. Wow, Darren, that's a stretch. No, it's not. That's foundationally, when I'm talking about serving, you know, let's say, for example, God tells us to go and like pick up the trash in the neighborhood or whatever. I'm going to do that, but there's going to be something in my spirit that as I grab every piece of paper, I'm like, everything in this place that's dead, let it come to life. There's like something in me that, like, I mean, I was, every time I drive here through this neighborhood, I'm like, life, where there's been drug abuse and marital infidelity and crazy stuff going on. Lord, by my presence being right here in this space, giving of my time, let there be life come in the midst of death. We are salt in this earth. Salt is a preservative. Y'all, we are the salt of the world. We are the light of the world. Like, you carry the glory of God on the inside of you. His name is Jesus. You should not be surprised when resurrection power comes through you to somebody else, and then they go on and start bringing life into dead places. Even in the church, we get threatened, man. If we give life to someone and then they start giving life, we're like, whoa, they're giving more life. And you, no. This should increase as we give life to the next. I fully expect the youth to be more powerful than me. Why? Because that's the trajectory of God as it relates to the kingdom of God. Even if things get darker in the next generation, we'll have more glory than we've ever had. That's why the devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. He knew exactly what Jesus was called to do. Take that dead, cold, lifeless stone and turn it into a source of life that others can eat from and live. The second thing is, we are really, truly called to transform culture. What do you mean, Darren? We're not called to put on a conference? Do another camp, another seminar, another class? All those things are awesome, but why are they awesome? When we're talking about doing a marriage class, that, by the way, I think is busting at the seams right now, amen. Praise God. More people sign up. You know, as we're doing a prophetic class up in West Palm Beach, people are showing up. Awesome. Because the reason is we want to get encountered by God. I almost hurt myself, man. That was bad. I can't do that stuff anymore. 30 years ago. But, you know, the devil took Jesus up. Look at this at Luke 5-7. and reveal to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he says, I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority if you worship me. The devil is so telling. He's such a chump. Can I say that in church? Because he knew that, if he can usurp, misdirect, keep our heart out of true connection to God, keep it dysfunctional. That's what he was trying to do with the Son of God here. He was playing his cards straight up for us as the New Testament church to fully see. Because if it was Jesus' destiny to have authority over the kingdoms of the world, it's our destiny as well. Sitting with my friends this week who are missionaries in Paris. Did you know that Paris is Jesus's? In fact, I believe gateway cities of the world are going to start to come into alignment with the kingdom like we've never seen in human history. Never before. Where we've ran from those spaces before, we're running into them. We're running into New York. We're running into South Florida. We're running into Paris. We're running into, you pick the city, because we're here to bring a hostile takeover of the love of God to people living in those places. And the last thing that we're called to do with our time, I love this about Grant. He really stretches me all the time in this, and it's to take risks. Did you say Grant's your favorite or I'm your favorite? Never mind. That's your favorite, taking risks. I got you. Usher? Anyhow, I'm just messing with you. But look at this. The devil takes Jesus to Jerusalem. Think about this. He puts him on the top of the temple, the highest place. I love the imagery here. Religion had become so stale, so ritualistic, so rote, with no power. And he says, jump off of here, because God will protect you. It's right where we're at today. We're going to take some risks and some stuff. We're dreaming. Y'all haven't even heard about it yet. Just buckle your seatbelts and get ready. Because seriously, man, we're going to stand at the highest part of the temple called religion. And we're saying, God, we're going to throw ourselves off. I remember there was years ago when we first moved here. I think it was Melissa Steinhauer. She was the wife of one of the first people that got saved in this church. She had this dream of the harbor. And she saw it as this big, massive structure in downtown Fort Lauderdale. It wasn't pretty like all the other ones. It didn't have all the fancy glass. It was made out of wood. But Mary Catherine, Andrew Aronzilla's wife, they just moved to Atlanta. She and some of the rest of our team were standing on the top of this tower and we were jumping off. And all these people, these dignified people, there was like a demarcation zone around the building and they wouldn't enter in, but they were coming and they were bowing in awe of the risks that we were taking as a community for Jesus. So, as we close, you know, we're on this journey of servanthood. And please don't get me wrong, like, there is sacrifice to serving. You know, Jesus, it cost him his life. I mean, there's no greater sacrifice than that. But he just didn't die. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we die and nothing's happening and we think we're doing something for God. No, he died and that made propitiation to absolve all the sins of mankind. That was redemptive. Are you hearing me? So if you're sacrificing, you know, doing something for the Lord and your wife is miserable, something's wrong. If your heart is sick and you're burned out and tired, something's off. So, you know, you guys may not understand this, but we have prayed for years. as a team, and we've been in unity about this, Lord, don't give us more than we can handle. Because we don't want to build some golden bird cage that we're stuck in, looking all successful to everybody else, and we don't know Jesus anymore. Does that make sense? It's all in balance. I mean, do you believe with me that we can have both? We can have a region and we can scale that and we can still love the Lord? And we can still have good families and good marriages and have fun in life? That's true north. That's where we're heading. So, you know, listen, this is a pastoral statement right here, but there's times where we've had people serving and we told them, you need to stop serving for a little while. You need to get this straight. Whoa, you mean you had a need and you told someone to step down out of that need? Yes. Ministry teams come, and I don't know, maybe you're here, you don't even know Jesus, or in this way you don't know him. We want to introduce you to him. He's wonderful, he's amazing, he's incredible. Maybe you have something going on in your body. Hey, everybody's attention real quick. This is important for me to say. We need some prayer right now. We have Jeanette, Justin's wife, up in the northern, northwestern part of Florida with her family. Her father is on the verge of transitioning to the next life because of cancer. And we know that cancer doesn't win at the end of the day, but I know this. I know that Jeanette's heart is super important to God. And so is Justin's. And pastors are people too. I'm going to introduce a book that this guy wrote that was on this retreat with me. And it's called Pastors Are People Too. Do you know we have feelings? We go through hard times. We go through challenges and struggles. And we need the body to come around us. Can we just lift up the Jarvises right now? Lord, we thank you for Justin and Jeanette and all their beautiful little kids. We say over their souls that they will be filled with life. They will be filled with breath. They will be filled with health. And we say every strategy of the adversary that would try to hurt them through some nasty, wicked disease like cancer, just like he tried to do to Samuel and his family through his mom, what he's trying to do with me and Wendy. And God, you are bigger than all of that. And we give you, we trust you, we believe you, that God, you turn everything for the good. And God, you are all powerful and you are almighty. And Lord, we take this prayer and we pray it over every single person in this house. We say, God, may every life in this place be filled with the love of God, the joy of God. And even though we make sacrifice and we take hits, that Lord, in the end of the day, redemption is our portion. Redemption comes. We see the redeeming power of the living God in our midst. It is not in vain, but God, you are with us. We love you, Lord. Maybe something in this message impacted your heart. I want you to come and spend some time with God and let him get a hold of you. Listen, God bless you. Night of worship this Friday. Harbor family, come out and check it out. It's awesome. Right here, 7 p.m. No child care, but it's amazing. God bless you guys in Jesus' name. Yeah, ministry teams will be here to pray for you as long as needed.